Good afternoon, guys. This afternoon I'll be speaking to you about the Threatened Species Information Protection Program, which is a little bit different focus to a lot of the things that you've heard here today. It's more of an educational-based project rather than research. But for many people that, well, for a lot of the work that I do, it's actually the work that a lot of people in here do that actually helps build this project, specifically people, projects like Holly and Cheryl Law and some other projects that have really fed into the delivery of this project. So the Threatened Species Information Protection Program is set up to mitigate the impacts of the impacts associated with recreation on threatened species. So the main groups of species that I'm looking at is dugongs, shorebirds and seabirds, sawfish, dolphins and whales and turtles. So they're the main groups of species that get impacted from recreational activities. Within this region, recreation has, within the Pilbara region, so I'm looking at Exmouth Gulf, right up past the Montebellos, up to around the Regnard Islands and back in. Recreation in this area has been relatively low to date. However, with big increases in towns such as Onslow that have gone from roughly 750 people, you add the Wheatstone workforce there, that's over 6,000 people, the increase in the potential increase in recreation is pretty significant, and then the potential increase from threats associated with that impact with recreation is quite high as well. So it is the program is part of the biodiversity offset strategy of the Wheatstone project. So it is Chevron come through from Chevron funding, and this is the project focus area. So as I said, from the bottom of Exmouth Gulf right up to the Montebellos in just south of Dampier, the Onslow. The area, primary focus area, has been roughly the islands around and the habitats around Onslow, purely because of the direct increase in population right in that area. The project focuses on over 60 EPPC listed species, and without going into too much detail about each one, this is just a broad scale of some of the main species that are known to be in different areas throughout the project area and can be quite impacted by recreation activities. So the key habitats, islands are one of the most important habitats within this region and haven't, I guess, been spoken about today because you guys have been speaking about marine in-water aspects. But the islands provide vital refuge for turtles and migratory shorebirds and seabirds, especially through different life stages. So, and the islands within this region are relatively free from threats associated with the mainland. So, very minimal introduced species, and the level of visitation is quite low as well. Mangroves, another key habitat. So, the eastern side of Exmouth Gulf. Has been recognised as an important bird area by BirdLife International, as it supports 1% of the global population of the grey-tailed tattler. And there is also, within my project focus area, there is five important bird areas. So the Montebellos, the Lowendale Group, Barrow Island and Sunday Island as well. So there is significant habitat for shorebirds and seabirds within the Pilbara region. And also Exmouth Gulf, which Holly briefly touched on, and areas such as the Ashburton River there's been a little bit of study going on recently that have potentially identified that area as a potential pupping ground for the green sawfish. So, and that's in quite close proximity to a township. Impacts from recreation that this project's trying to target or trying to lessen the impacts from marine debris. Unfortunately, marine debris is out there. It is on all the islands. In terms of levels, in comparison to other places throughout the country where it's considered to be high level, It is low level, but for instance, that picture up there, that's just from one small section of an island called Saruru Island, which is one of the main camping areas within this region. So that was collected at the end of last year, and it was nearly 70, 80 kilos of what could just be picked up through bare hands. Disturbance is another key impact, especially for turtles and birds, and also through a lot of the marine mammals. So interaction pressures, another key threat impact associated with recreation, boat strikes, incidental catch, campfires, and pets. Sort of goes without saying that we probably know that these are the threats associated with recreation, but the general everyday person might not actually realise what they're doing actually has a big impact. One of the key things I've noticed of late, or just through speaking to people, is birds flying, that's what they do. So people don't realise that that actually can have a pretty big impact on especially the migratory birds. So one of those small little common sandpipers, or one of the migratory birds that do make a migration of 13,000 kilometres just to get to Australia, if they're disturbed in one off flush, that can actually impact their migration back north to their breeding grounds, and then that can impact their cycle from there. So the vision for the Threatened Species Information Protection Program is to really engage with the community so that for everyday people, just or everyone that's out in the environment, to understand that what they do through their everyday activity can actually have an impact on threatened species, and that they can actually minimise those impacts. A key way of trying to achieve this is by promoting positive behaviour for protection of threatened species and migratory species. So the target audience that the project really focuses on is recreational boaters and fishers. The Wheatstone workforce, because they are such a large group within the community, and then also just your local communities and visitors to the area. And it really does come down to some really simple messages to get across to people to try and minimise impacts on threatened species. Also work with commercial tour operators to encourage the best practice tourism. So they're out in the water quite regularly, or out in these areas, to try and minimise their impact as well. And also, there's a bit of focus with state and local government authorities to encourage decisions to safeguard critical habitats. And that has been done through talking with the local government authorities for them to consider threatened species within their management plans, or their foreshore management plans. Also through an example, if mooring is to be installed right near an island, that is important for turtle nesting or shorebirds, what considerations is being put into place? So that's actually a really important one as well. And this is just an example of sort of what happens in certain sections of the Pilbara. The car traffic along beaches, especially this time of year when there is quite a lot of turtle and shorebird activity. This is seen quite regularly, and this can have a big impact on the success of turtles, and also that disturbance on birds. So how am I getting a lot of these messages out to the community? It has been done through trying to target everybody, so down to basic cartoons for kids through to brochures, social media. It's just the start of it as well. And so far, education has been probably the biggest focus for the project. So to date, the project's only been running for a bit over 12 months, and have engaged with over 4,000 people from Exmouth, Onslow, and the Karratha community, spreading the messages of threatened species. Project linkages, which I mentioned at the start, are really important for the success of the threatened species project. So getting information from people like Holly, Cheryl. There's also another project that's happening at the moment, which is managing the Wheatstone Project Offset D, which is managing impacts and risks associated with potential increased visitation to island nature reserves. So that's one of the key projects that I'm working in with at the moment. And over the last 2 years, they have actually been out on a lot of the Pilbara Islands. I think they've surveyed over 50 of the islands, collecting a lot of information. And their key concern also is the habitat for nesting turtles and roosting and shorebirds and seabirds. So currently at the moment, only two of those islands are covered under a management plan. So after this, with this process, all of the 50 island nature reserves within this project area should be covered under a management plan. Also work alongside or with the Wheatstone Project's Indigenous Sea Ranger group. So they're a relatively new group as well. They sort of kicked into gear when I did. And their key goal also is to address threatened species and threatened migratory species along the coastline. So we've been working together to build partnerships and to for a lot of community events. Recently, together as a partnership, we ran a bird life shorebird workshop, which was actually really good. It actually provided an opportunity to establish a shorebird count area in Onslow that actually hadn't been established before and was on BirdLife's wish list, because they'd gone from the bottom of the Gulf up to Karratha, but there was this section in between that they weren't able to or hadn't had the means to be able to get in and establish a shorebird count area. So this project, the workshop, was actually really good in getting that up and running as well. And as our projects both evolve, there'll be a lot more opportunity for the implementation of protection measures along the coast and also other education and community engagement opportunities. So as the president just mentioned, the project is relatively new. It is still, I've just come out of the first year of a 5-year project, and there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And there's a lot of information that definitely can be fed back to the community. And that's where the project linkages are really important for that information exchange, making sure that I'm targeting specific species or specific habitat, making sure the correct messages are getting out towards the community. Over the next 4 years, really hope to bridge the gaps in information availability. So there is, in certain areas, information and resources for the general public and not, they're lacking in some of the key species. So one of the key avenues I'll be going down is to try and bridge that knowledge gap there as well. And I'll continue to work with the state and local governments to encourage habitat protection, especially for when the project comes to an end, that measures are still put in place so that threatens that it will still continue on for the life of the project, after the life of the project. So habitat protection and protection for threatened species will still be there. And that's it.
Do you have to deal with drones?
I haven't as yet, but...
Not as a tool, but as a threat.
I am aware of them, and that is something that's will be within some of the messages that do come out. And it does depend on, different tenure. A lot of the thing with my project is it does go across a big, broad area, but definitely it is a message that will go out to the general public on the impacts that can have.
Yeah,